Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning and glad to welcome any visitors and guests whom we have with us. We're glad you're here and hope you'll come and join us again. Let me mention a couple of quick announcements for you. One is that music camp starts this week. Jim, anything you need to say about that?
I'm just glad it started. I've been planning so long, I'm just ready to see some kids.
What time does it start tomorrow?
9 o'clock.
All right, so that starts tomorrow. The shareholders' dinner is next Sunday evening. If you would like tickets, they are available in the narthex following the worship service. Michelle, you and Savannah are out in the narthex with those tickets. Please see them. Also, you'll notice an announcement in your Go and Serve that we'll be doing a truck for Williamsburg next Saturday, and we invite you to come and help. That would be great. Information is in your Go and Serve. And finally, this would be the point where I normally call on Sarah, but she is actually at the beach on a week of vacation. Oh, y'all can feel really sorry for her. I don't know why she didn't come back just for this, but she is gone off to the beach. So, let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Seated with the children, please come forward. You guys are in luck today. Do you see what I brought?
Yeah.
Do you know what this
is?
This is my magic wand. That's right. And when I was your age, if I had had a magic wand, you know what I would have done? What?
You would have changed the world and changed us.
Well, I could do that, yes. But you know what? I was thinking more simple than that. I wanted a pony. Wouldn't you like to have a pony?
Yeah.
And here I got a magic wand. All I had to do was, and poof, there'd be a pony. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Abracadabra.
Well, I forgot that that's why Pony didn't show up. I didn't say abracadabra. If I had said abracadabra and done that, the pony would be here, right?
Yeah.
Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Or what if I said, I'm going to get $1 million, poof?
No.
Oh, I forgot to say abracadabra again.
Abracadabra.
Well, but then there's five of us here. You wouldn't get the whole million. We'd have to split it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But what I'm hearing from y'all is y'all don't think my magic wand works.
I do.
You think my magic wand works?
Yes, I do.
You do not.
I do.
Well,
it's just a stick.
It's just a stick and some string. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it got a little bell on it. Yeah. You're, you know what? I never had a pony. So did my wand work?
Yes.
No, it didn't work. And I don't have $1 million. Did my wand work? No. It's invisible. Oh, an invisible pony. Yeah, that doesn't help me a whole lot because I don't know where it is. All right, so, but wouldn't it be cool if you had like a magic wand where you could just wish for anything and you'd have it? What do you think? That's what you, what would you wish for?
Money?
Money?
Candy?
Nobody wants a pony?
Pony, yeah.
Anything a kid would want is what you would wish. Video game, oh, hoverboard, yeah. Okay. So you could wish for anything in the world and you could get all kind of cool stuff, right? Well, do you know what? In our first lesson that we're going to hear in just a minute, there's a guy who's going to be king over the whole nation. His name is Solomon. And God comes to Solomon and he says, ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. Now, if God's going to get, do you think that's better than having a magic wand?
No.
No. I tried, but God's going to, I can try all I want for a pony and it's not going to happen, but if God says he'll give me whatever I ask him, then it's going to really be, right?
Yeah.
Right.
What, if you ask, maybe God will give
it. All right, so if you were going to be king and God said, ask me for anything, what would you ask for? Okay, right. Riches and all kind of things like that.
I would want one thing.
What?
Unlimited wishes.
You could ask for that, yes. That would be great. Or you know, Solomon could have asked for anything in the world. And do you know what he asked for?
What?
He said, God, wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. You'd want a puppy. That'd be another good thing to ask for. That's right. But what Solomon asked for was, it wasn't about things for himself. It was about so that he could do God's will and help other people through God helping him. That's what he wished for. So today, as you're thinking about my magic wand that didn't make the pony appear right here.
You didn't say
abracadabra. I didn't say abracadabra. No, not really, not anymore.
Why not?
Ponies are fun, yeah.
And
yeah. I don't have a place to keep one. That's the only thing.
Well, make a barn.
Yeah.
Well, wish for
yeah. What? Okay.
How did you
start? Well, no, I got a magic wand. I don't need to find a shooting star. But even beyond that, what I want to remind you of is that God wants us to help others. And that's what Solomon was trying to do, was to ask for the thing. It wasn't about what he wanted. It was about, what can I do for other people? And that's what I want you to remember today. God calls each of us to care for others and to use the gifts and talents he has given us to help others. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for all your many gifts to us. And we pray that you might lead us to use those gifts in love toward you and in service toward others. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
The first lesson is a reading from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child, and I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give to you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." The word of the Lord. When your word is opened, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments.
Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your
statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your The second lesson is a reading from the 8th chapter of Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of his household, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Have you ever had to memorize something for school? Maybe it was your multiplication tables, a poem, the periodic table. I remember one time I had to memorize. One story that comes to mind for me about school and memorizing is how our college biology class had to memorize types of trees. And we were to identify them based on the shape of their leaves. Tulip trees, all kinds of oak and maple, cherry trees. These are just a few that come to mind. We made flashcards for our final test, one side with a silhouette of the shape of the leaf, and the other side of the flashcard had the kind of tree that it grew on. The answer. At the end of the semester, after our test, we got to go on the field trip to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we went on a hike. Seeing the trees and recognizing what kind of trees they were based on their leaves was fulfilling. And it was very different from looking at the two-dimensional black and white silhouette of their shape on a flashcard and bubbling it in on the test. In all their glory on that hike, the trees, they had so many more leaves. In the big picture of that nature walk, there was so much more beauty and life than what we had boiled our learning down to in those simple note cards. Understanding runs deeper than facts. And the big picture is more complex than a note card. We can apply that to the gospel we heard today. Today, I want to look at that big picture. Using our gospel reading as a jumping off point, I want to talk about the kingdom of heaven and the parables that we just heard. We just heard Jesus tell his disciples five parables, five stories that start with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." I need to stop here and address what Jesus means when he says, "The kingdom of heaven." In Matthew's gospel, when Jesus says kingdom of heaven, he does not mean what we think of as heaven, at least not in the sense of some other place or some other time. It's here and now. We just sang about it. I brought my hymnal up. Verse 4, not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away, here in this place, the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom, and now is the day. The phrase, kingdom of heaven, means kingdom of God. It's the phrase also used in the other gospels. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God mean the same thing. And that's what Jesus came to announce. At the beginning of the gospel stories, Jesus comes onto the scene and he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand," or "The kingdom of God is near." And what he means is that God's kingdom, God's rule, God's reign, God's activity has come into the world in a new way. In a new way that may seem like no big deal to us, but it was a really big announcement for the people in Jesus' time. Let's think about why. It's sometimes hard for us to understand this, but the Jewish people of Jesus' day tended to think of God as something far off, removed from this world. God had acted in history on behalf of his people at some really big times. But mostly the people thought of God as being and as living far away from them. We tend to think that God is with us always, always present, and we have good reason to think this. We know and trust this is so through faith. But perhaps that's not really how the people of God in Jesus' day saw things. They saw God as absent, still directing his people through the law and through the prophets, but from a distance. And so then here comes Jesus saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near." What he is saying to the people is that the God they have known and worshiped from a distance is now close. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, is now spilling over into this world. Jesus is saying God is present in a new way, here and now. It would have been quite natural for people to respond to Jesus by looking around and saying, "Where? We don't see any signs the kingdom has come. The Romans are still ruling over us, and we're still suffering. Everything looks the same. How can you say the kingdom of God has come near?" So then we come to these five parables today. How does Jesus teach about the kingdom to his first hearers? He teaches using parables, not lofty words. Jesus uses yeast, seeds, pearls, nets. He uses these things, these everyday things, to tell his disciples about the kingdom of God. These short parables show us the big picture of God's kingdom through the unexpected size of a tree from such a small seed, through the hidden yeast that's added to the flat bread to make it rise, through the pearl of great price that the merchant sells. He sells all that he has to acquire it, through the hidden treasure in a field, the hidden treasure that's so valuable that someone sacrifices all that they have to get it, and through the net that catches all the fish. So then, after hearing these parables, we may hit the ground running with wanting to assign each thing in the parables meaning. Each thing is a different role. Who's the seed? What's the pearl mean? Is the hidden treasure our faith, or is the hidden treasure Jesus? Is God the woman who added the yeast? Does the yeast represent God? Now I invite you to step back with me, just like we're going on a nature walk, to look at the bigger picture. We don't have to pick the parables apart. We don't have to pick them apart for meaning or assign certain roles to each object in each short phrase. Jesus is using the small net, the pearl, the yeast, the seed, to tell us about the kingdom. He uses these things to help us put together the big picture. There are so many parables that Jesus tells, so many details. And part of the good news is that Jesus gives us the parables. The parables are essentially the two-dimensional flashcards that enable the disciples and us to go out into the world, ready to point to how God's kingdom is here and now. These small pictures, these leaves on a flashcard, given to us in the parables, then give us a broader understanding of God's surprising, unexpected, pricelessly valuable, all-encompassing kingdom. The good news is that we are a part of this kingdom. We are living in the kingdom. We are living the parables. Our lives are the leaves. The kingdom has so many more dimensions than we can explain. Yet here we are, living in it. As Jesus invites us in to hear another story about the kingdom, may we learn and live into the truth of God's unexpected love, seen through Jesus. And may our lives continue to tell the story, God's kingdom story. Amen.
brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and for all of God's creation. Living God, you have given us the good news of your eternal love. Empower us all in the midst of an uncertain world to be a witness to the solid and trustworthy foundation we have in Christ Jesus, and to stand firm in our faith and trust in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, amidst all the distractions of our lives, you have called us to keep our eyes on you. You have shown yourself, your mercy, and your grace to us over and over. Now turn our hearts and minds to you even more, Lord God. Give us a new vision of your kingdom and a strong sense of your call to be your servants. Lord, in your mercy, comforting Savior, so often we need you to save us. You have promised us your love and care always, and that you will be with us even in the midst of difficulty and trouble. Keep watch over all your children. Strengthen us for the life of faith. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you have called us and comforted us. You have fed us and strengthened us. Now, O God, empower us and send us. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks,
broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me."
And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God wants you.